HarperCollins presents Queen Victoria and Her Prime Ministers, A Personal History, by Anne Somerset, read by Claire Valsden. Author's note. In her correspondence with ministers and prime ministers, convention dictated that Victoria referred to herself in the third person as either she or the Queen. When replying, ministers adopted the same usage, referring to themselves, for example, as Mr. Disraeli or as Mr. Gladstone. It is notoriously difficult to compare the value of money in the past with modern monetary values. For those who are interested, the National Archives currency converter estimates that £1 in 1850 would be worth approximately £80.19 in 2017. The Bank of England inflation calculator says £1 in 1850 would be approximately £80.19 in 2017. The Bank of England inflation calculator says £1 in 1850 would buy £110.64 worth of goods and services in May 2023. The CPI inflation calculator says £1 in 1850 would have an equivalent purchasing power in 2023 of £172.23. Readers can take their pick of these figures. Chapter 1. Lord Melbourne, 1837 to 1841. In late May 1837, the British Foreign Secretary, Lord Palmerston, informed Britain's ambassador to France that their 71-year-old sovereign, King William IV, was in a very precarious state. His asthma and respiratory problems had become so serious that it was unlikely he could live long, though Palmerston trusted the King would stave off death for a few months yet. The Foreign Secretary did not welcome the prospect of dealing with the King's successor, seeing no advantage in having a totally inexperienced girl of 18, just out of strict guardianship, to govern an empire. The girl in question was King William's niece, Princess Victoria. The fact that she had celebrated her 18th birthday on the 24th of May, 1837, was significant, because at 18, a sovereign was deemed of age to rule without a regency. Yet, as Palmerston remarked, it was scarcely in the nature of things that the nation will look with the same deference to the will of a person of 18 as to that of one of mature age. And it was for this reason the Foreign Secretary had hoped the King's life would be spared for some time to come. Palmerston's wish was not granted, for King William's health grew steadily worse. At 2:10 on the morning of the 20th of June, he died, and his niece, Victoria, was transferred at once from the nursery to the throne. The princess was fluent in French and German, and had seen the study of English history as one of my first duties, but at least one observer believed she had not received the proper education for one who was to wear the crown of England. On the other hand, in her first declaration to her Privy Council, she would state, "I have learnt from my infancy to respect and love the constitution of my native country." Furthermore, while painfully conscious of her youth and inexperience, she felt sure that very few have more real goodwill and more desire to do what is fit and right. Notwithstanding his qualms about Victoria's age, Palmerston was inclined to think she will turn out to be a remarkable person and gifted with a great deal of strength and character. In this he would be proved correct, in some ways rather more than he might have wished. At just under 5 foot tall, the new queen was physically diminutive, but it soon became apparent she had a very decided will of her own. No one, including herself, considered Victoria a beauty, and she may have not had a very good figure, but her appearance had much about it that was appealing. A government minister assured a friend, "She is really in person and in face, and especially in eyes and complexion, a very..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?